Penguin Random House Canada presents It Happened One Christmas by Chantal Gertin. Read for you by Amelia Sargeson. For Chris, I'll stop the world and melt with you. Chapter 1. Friday, December 19th, 9:30 a.m. Michael Bublé was right. It was beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere I went. Metallic silver and gold balls dangled from the baskets of petunias that hung from the street lamps. Tiny white lights wrapped the trunks of the palm trees that lined the sidewalk, and the billboard on top of Epic's Burbank offices featured the current number one flick in holiday movies on Netflix. I hummed along to Bublé's version of one of my favorite holiday songs in my AirPods, taking it as a good omen for all Canadian things to come, as I pushed through the front door of Epic Productions, which had been wrapped to look like a Christmas present, and tried to banish Thomas from my mind. I hadn't thought about him in days. Dumped. Why did the word have to be so dirty? Dumped, like a dumpster. It was bad enough that someone didn't want to date you anymore. Now you were supposed to feel like garbage, too? When you got fired, it wasn't so harsh. Lost your job was as though you'd forgotten to scatter breadcrumbs from the office to your home, and now you just couldn't go back. Not the worst thing in the world. If we could figure out other ways of saying you were fired, why couldn't there be a nice way of explaining the end of a relationship? One that didn't involve refuse? I didn't want to be thinking about Thomas or the fact that I had no plans for Christmas. But getting the call to confirm the spray tan appointment this morning had brought him back to the forefront. I'd made the appointment months ago in anticipation of the trip, since the California sun did nothing for my pale Irish skin thanks to the SPF 45 I wore every day. I popped my oversized black sunglasses onto the top of my head and my AirPods into their case, then into my black crossbody bag, which was slung over my jeans and coral boyfriend blazer, and continued through Epic's bright atrium. The space featured Persian rugs, second-hand couches, distressed antique furniture. The frat house decor persisted not because of a lack of success. No, success we had in spades. We had the top streaming Christmas movie on Netflix for the third straight year. Hiring an interior decorator to overhaul the vibe of the place was on someone's task list somewhere. It was just that no one ever got that far down on their to-do list. There was actual work to be done if we wanted to maintain our position as the country's biggest holiday movies production company. I waved at Misha, who sat on a tall stool at reception. "Hey, Zoe," she called after me, leaning over the edge of the slab of salvaged wood. "Ooh, nice shoes," she said, eyeing my kitten heels, which gave me just enough extra height to be eye level with my boss, Elijah. "Sitter just confirmed. I'm a baby-free lady. Cocktails at Azure?" "Let's do it," I said to one of my best and oldest friends. I headed down the hall past the lunchroom, where I ducked in to fill my water bottle, then by the first of the writers' rooms, where I said hi to Bethany, before hanging a left and going down the hallway with the scratched paint. I knocked, then walked, into the office of Roberto Diaz, problem solver, solution wrangler, the vagueness of whose actual title, production assistant, served as an accurate description of the way he seemed to fix any film-related snag. "How's it going on the permits?" Even talking about something as procedural as permits brought a smile to my face and made me forget all my troubles, Thomas and a solo Christmas included. I couldn't wait to get going on this holiday movie. My holiday movie. A friends-to-lovers romantic comedy about Ruby Russo and Jacques Peltier, the fictional heroine and hero. Roberto flipped his shaggy sand-colored hair away from his face and fixed his blue eyes up at me. He nodded to the script on the pile opposite his monitor. "Done," he confirmed with a confident grin. "Last location came through this morning." "That calls for a fist bump," I said, pushing up the sleeves of my blazer. Roberto gave an over-exaggerated nod. "Oh, Zoe," You know I live for the fist bump.
Roberto's love of fist bumps was the only reason I'd suggested it. I extended a clenched hand to receive one. Really nice work, Roberto, I said sincerely. Some caveats, he said, running a bronzed hand through his hair. He picked up the sheaf of papers and flipped to the locations form, where my list occupied the right side column. Tudor-style house, convenience store, snowy walking path. There were probably a dozen locations in all. Based on my descriptions, Roberto would have spent several weeks using Google Street View to find perfect facsimiles. He'd have contacted the owners and arranged a per diem price for however long we needed to shoot there. I knew exactly how much work that could be because I'd formerly had Roberto's job, along with most of the others in between.
I know you wanted a Tudor-style house, Roberto said. I couldn't find something exactly like that, but I got a couple who are in a Georgian brownstone to agree to using their place. We actually used it when we shot It Takes Two a few years ago. The space is gorgeous. High ceilings, crown molding, and they already know the routine. Plus, they winter in the Cayman Islands, so they won't be there anyway.
I frowned. Georgian brownstone? Georgian's a long way from Tudor, stylistically speaking, I said. But it also doesn't sound like Chelsea to me. And wasn't It Takes Two set in New York? He flipped through to the actual location permit, and as he did, I caught a glimpse of a familiar logo. Film perforations on the first pillar of the capital N, followed by the bold black Y and C of the New York Film Office, which issued any and all shoot permits for the five boroughs. I pointed to the page with my freshly polished nail. Shade, OPI's You Don't Know Jacques, in honor of Ruby's love interest in the film. That's from the New York Film Office, I said, my eyes wide. It felt like I had just been fist-bumped in the stomach. Hard.
Right, he said. Like West 24th and 9th. Do you want to see the other agreements? I've got a bodega on the corner of West 10th and West 30th, and I'm pretty sure the High Line is going to come through for the snowy walking path, provided we film on a Monday, which I think is totally doable for the schedule.
I wanted Chelsea, Quebec, I said, my voice rising slightly. I tugged at my long brown hair, which I'd quickly thrown back in a ponytail on my way out of the gym this morning.
What do you mean?
He said, confused. The little town. In Quebec. Canada.
What about it?
That's where the movie is set, Roberto. Didn't you read the script? Even before I finished asking the question, I knew the answer. Of course he hadn't read the script. I never did either when I had his job, back when I was first starting out in the industry. There was no time for reading scripts, just for getting permits.
Does it matter?
He asked. He looked puzzled.
What's going on?
Elijah's voice echoed in the hallway moments before he stuck his head through the door. He was wearing a blue blazer over a fitted white shirt and a gold chain that he thought was tasteful, debatable, gleaming between the points of his casually unbuttoned collar. A weathered leather portfolio was tucked under his arm, and a pen was in his left hand. My boss, Epic's executive producer, always looked like he'd been professionally styled, right down to the accessories. Which he probably had been. His girlfriend was a stylist on a morning talk show.
Nothing,
I said quickly.
Small problem, nothing we can't solve.
I forced a smile at Elijah, then turned back toward Roberto.
Okay, let's just figure out how we're going to get the right film permit.
Right film permit? Elijah said. What's the wrong one?
Misunderstanding, I said. Roberto did a great job sewing up Chelsea, New York, but I wanted Chelsea, Quebec.
We're not shooting in New York,
Elijah said, his own voice going up an octave.
We don't have the budget for New York.
I know that. More important, we couldn't shoot in New York, because the setting for my screenplay was the snowy, rural Laurentians. Poutine, maple syrup, Celine Dion, long walks in white woods.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?